All right, let's go.
Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1168, I believe. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Had a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, as I talked about beforehand, it's been a long day, but hey, there's always time to carve out in my schedule for a little professional wrestling talk. And hey, why not get straight into it? Because boy, at the yeah, nothing that really stuck out this week as far as what happened. Things moved along. They definitely worked their way towards Night of Champions. Is this coming Saturday?
Yes, Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
Gonna have to re-up with ESPN. Well, it's a Saturday morning. It looks like so. Got that to look forward to. I mean, there was a shred of me that was just thinking, "This show really worth it?" And then I'm just like, I guess it is, and maybe throughout the month I'll check in on something that's on ESPN. Who knows? But yeah, I might as well have something to do this weekend. Some more to do this weekend. Not that there isn't a lot of wrestling to choose from this weekend.
Because it's AEW this weekend also
AEW for Sunday has
is Forbidden Door.
Forbidden Door,
Yeah.
NXT Great American Bash
Oh,
going head to
yeah.
head. And then earlier in the afternoon, it's TNA Slammiversary.
Wow. Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
again, if you can't find something that you like in professional
And
wrestling, at this stage, I feel
it was
like you're
close
just
for me,
not
actually. I was just like,
looking hard enough.
yeah, I was close. I'm like, okay, I am okay. I'll re-up with the ESPN for Night of Champions, and I'll probably watch NXT because it's free, and
Yeah.
I want to see how they format a live. I believe it's gonna be a 3-hour special on the CW network
Yeah, I haven't really looked
with
into
regular
the
commercial breaks and all that.
particulars of it, but 3 hours makes sense. I mean, that
Three
ends up
hours with
giving you
commercials,
about
yeah.
2.5 hours of actual content if you
Yeah.
want to look at it that way.
Yeah, should be. I mean, the lineup they've put together looks okay for what NXT has to offer at the moment.
Yeah. And we kicked off SmackDown by getting what both of us thought was going to happen here.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn is the guest referee for Gunther versus Cody Rhodes. I would say basic story is Gunther expects Sami Zayn to be on his side at all times as the
Yeah.
referee. Does not end up being the case. And then he ends up, he being Sami Zayn, ends up fast counting Gunther. Of course, Gunther is going to complain. And we actually get a, because Cody Rhodes isn't happy with the ending of the match either, because he realizes it was a quick count. He just takes Gunther up on the offer. They have the second referee who came into the first match end up refereeing the second match between Gunther and Cody Rhodes. And then we get Sami Zayn's interference. He Huluva kicks the referee. And hey, we end up with a three-way match at
Yeah.
Night of Champions here.
And I mean, we had multiple segments throughout the night before we got to that triple threat because which is the reason why it went on first. So we could gotta tell that story. That's what we do here. We tell stories. We tell stories. Doesn't matter if they're good stories, but we tell stories. And this isn't good. I mean, let's just be brutally honest about it. This is the weakest main event in some PLE main event in some time. It feels like that they've really hurt, if not killed, the career killer arc of Gunther's career. All if being involved in two separate goofy finishes in a row, three if you count the two matches that on SmackDown
Right.
have really hurt the momentum Gunther had built himself since beating Cena. That's at least my opinion. Just he's a character that should not be involved in silliness too much.
Well, he definitely shouldn't be involved in this many losses, disputed
Yes.
or otherwise. You know,
Right, exactly.
a hobby horse of this very show at all times. Like, they had done a pretty good job of protecting Gunther up to this point, and for whatever reason, they're just like, well, we've got to have these wacky finishes so we can fit Sami Zayn in here, who I'm not
Is the
quite
least over he's
sure.
ever been in his career. Let's call it a spade.
Well, and even if he's not the least over, they have had him lose.
Yes.
So, you know, just to go back to the losing, he has lost so much
Yes.
in
Again.
big spots that there's absolutely no reason for him to be in a main event picture right now.
No,
Like,
not getting it. Before we're getting into the Saudi politics of it all, of course. Yeah, it's just he's had a terrible run of run. I don't want to say run of luck. He's had a terrible run. It's, this character's getting a little bit. Maybe I'm a little exaggerating a bit. Maybe this character's got some heat to it, but it's not. It's I don't know if it's necessarily good heat. There's no justification for putting it. Putting him in this match, certainly no justification for him winning on Saturday. It's
no.
just it's you know again this this
Yeah, I
is
would
this,
be
this, this
quite shocked if that
yeah
ends up being the case.
there's just I mean I'm unless they're literally being unless they're to be creative is literally being held at gunpoint, which may not be
It
entirely entirely
is not off
against
the
the
table.
market, not off the table. Yes. Oh dear. Oh man, yeah. It's again. It just we've hurt Gunther. Cody was already having his ups and downs with crowd reactions, interest in his title, multiple title reigns. It feels like Cody just can't get that since he beat Roman Reigns, and now we're just been over 2 years. He just can't get that big feud for him. He can't get that just. He just can't. Maybe Kevin Owens was maybe the closest, but everything it's either it's in performance or in creative something or just builds atmosphere. Something just always feels off with him, and it's definitely it's been more than noticeable for a long time now.
I mean, it's really been wild what Cody Rhodes' two different reigns have.
Three different now.
Oh, is it three?
It's three now because he lost to Cena, won it back, and then he lost to McIntyre, won it
Oh,
back.
yep. Jeez. I mean, I guess we are going on 2 years of talking about him not having a good major feud
Yeah.
in this time period. And Gunther seems like the perfect guy to have, you know, to be in a feud.
Yes,
Even if
he
you
should
end
be.
up being the one on the losing end of it, it feels like that should be good because, there wasn't anyone better at staying heel than Gunther, just because he was always just a dickhead to whoever he was dealing with. You know, from anyone from Paul Heyman to the babiest of baby faces, like he always contained an arrogance that was always off-putting.
Yeah, but now it's morphing into this desperation, this sadder character that needs a handpicked referee and is going to complain that this handpicked referee isn't cheating for him. That's never really been his style at all.
And I guess I don't mind adding wrinkles to the game in some ways, but it still seems a little bit beneath him still.
It is. It just this isn't working. It feels like the weakest again. It feels like the weakest main event we've had in a long time. I am. I'm guessing Cody wins. I guess there's a chance Gunther wins. But yeah, I guess, Cody wins by pinning Sami Zayn. So we protect Gunther for maybe another match. Not that that's not feeling
Oh,
long in the tooth too.
yeah. I mean, I really feel like that is still because I think I said that last week. Like, that feels like that's gonna be it's some other location. I don't know what it is, but I do feel like eventually Gunther's gonna beat him, beat Cody. So yeah, that tells me that there's another singles match on the horizon somewhere. Because I would imagine
I'm
he's going to complain about this being a triple threat match too, just because
of
of how
course,
where the character has been going at this point, whether we like it or not. Like, that seems like a perfect avenue to take after
and
this,
I kind of
and he's
disagree,
like, I didn't take the pin.
right, of course, and I'm kind of in disagreement with you here that I don't know if there's another match. It seems that there I don't know if there's another match where Gunther wins if after this weekend. Or maybe there's just not another match that they don't want Gunther to take to take a loss again. It's a very,
Oh.
it's the roughest spot. This is the roughest spot he's been in his main roster run thus far, so far.
Well, yeah. That is the only problem. It is kind of, if there is another singles match, it should be inevitable that Gunther wins.
Yeah, it's it, he probably should win. Yes.
So, I guess yeah, we both made the Cody Rhodes prediction for that one. So
Yes. Yeah, we're the same.
I guess we can do the old Night of Champions preview slash show review, because most of this stuff was heavily featured on WWE programming. And this happened to be on SmackDown programming here. Tiffany Stratton will be defending her United States Championship against Jade Cargill in what is something of a familiar match.
It is a familiar match. It's a bit of an interesting match to run. I mean, because obviously we're going hard with this Charlotte Jade feud, heading into SummerSlam, it seems like.
Yep.
So, and Jade is a character that shouldn't, another one of those people characters that shouldn't lose a lot. But of course, the last time Jade and Tiffany met one-on-one, Jade destroyed her. And then Jade also pinned her like a week ago too in that tag match. So it's, it does feel like it's Tiffany's time to win. I mean, I guess, Charlotte Flair can get involved in that match to help
Right.
so that it's not clean, completely clean. So I guess, yeah, I would say that I'll pick Tiffany. It doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like a Jade Cargill Charlotte Flair feud needs the United States title.
Yeah, that would be a weird thing too. It's almost like the whole Becky Lynch IC title argument in some ways. Those two definitely have enough name recognition where we do not need a championship involved. Yeah, sure. Why not Tiffany? 'Cause yeah, I wouldn't say they had back and forth segments, but they each had segments there on SmackDown. Expressing their viewpoints, and I guess, is there anything to come of Chelsea Green continuing to be, saying paired with Tiffany Stratton is probably a little strong, given what's happening.
Attaching herself to the Tiffany Stratton is probably the better way to say it. Yeah, and
That
again,
is
this has been
fair.
in. This has been enjoyable. I mean, again, you guys have the question. I think I brought it up last week. Is Chelsea being genuine, and we're this is an actual face turn, or is she just trying to sucker in Tiffany so she can get her belt back?
Hey, maybe that's something that factors into another Tiffany loss at the hands of Jade this coming weekend. Who knows? Who knows?
It's possible.
Within SmackDown, We did have one Carmelo Hayes take on Ricky Saints for a chance at Trick Williams.
Yeah, winner loses the trick on Saturday. Yeah, I couldn't be bothered to really care about. I just can't be bothered to care about this. I'm not gonna say it's all them because Ricky hasn't risen to any occasion himself either. He seems to be a product. He seems to be more and more a product of internet hype than anything of substance to me. And Carmelo, I has just been on this downslide since he lost the US title. It there's you know I did His career seemingly already peaked. I don't know there's anything more for him than that.
That is kind of wild. Yeah, this match, like you said, in no way did I see either of them beating Trick Williams. Just from the offset, it's just like, okay, like I guess you guys are gonna end up having separate feuds with him. And I don't think that either of you who are gonna be the one to dethrone him.
This is a situation where when they're within any the vicinity of each other, that height difference just kills it all. Both of them.
Ricky Saints still a little vertically challenged for the
I'm
main roster WWE.
definitely hoping we start moving towards at SummerSlam Trick getting a re getting something better for him. It's just beating Sami Zayn, beating either of these guys is just not all that impressive. It's just like let's give him somebody. It's
Sammy's a
a
nice
Sami's a
place to
nice.
start.
He was a nice. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
But yeah, there hasn't been a good follow-up. So
No.
I would definitely agree that SummerSlam we could get better follow-up.
Yeah.
Who that follow-up is exactly, I'm not completely sure, but hey, you guys have enough people on your roster. You should be able to figure
There definitely is that.
it out. Yeah, 'cause what did not in the Night of Champions lineup here, but on SmackDown. I guess it ties into a greater picture here because we had some backstage segment with Tama Tonga and Tala Tonga pretty much begging Solo Sikoa not to come to ringside for their match.
Yeah, they did do that.
And then because they're like, dude, like just bad luck is following you right now. And sure enough, what ends up happening when he comes down to when Solo comes down to ringside for their match against Damian Priest and R-Truth, things go sideways. So yeah, this is kind of a interesting little plot that they have going on here with Solo Sikoa, who yeah, just seems to be getting way more credit than either of us thinks he deserves on
This is.
TV currently.
I know there have been a lot of nepotism cases in wrestling history, of course, but this is just egregious. I mean, he has been on a year or plus, maybe year and a half at least, downslide, and now he's being propped back up again for no reason other than he's part of that family.
There's some stuff that I've found entertaining. It hasn't been there consistently enough for me to really hope for him to have more TV time.
No, there's no argument. Again, and of course we'll probably talk about it more as we get into Raw. But it's like, where is all this going? What are we doing with all of this? Who asked for all of who asked for us to regress back 3 years? It feels like.
And I'm not completely sure, and maybe they have a decent idea, but I don't really have a good idea of what they think they would be doing.
Yeah, no, I
You
don't.
know, like, is Solo's people then like the SmackDown version, and they just run better and they start winning afterwards? You know, like
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure.
Tama Tonga has never been a leader. He's always been portrayed as a follower everywhere he's gone. And Tala Tonga still needs a lot of work. He's a project at best. And I've called him the least intimidating giant in wrestling history.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly does not project as well as most, that is for sure.
No, he really does not. So it's just like I don't know what they do without Solo, but this whole thing has just been, falling and falling, since, just the Bloodline versus Bloodline feud ended, a very long time ago now. But
Oh, gosh.
they've just kept dragging them into things and keeping again. The wrestling business did used to be, you had your run and it was over. Solo was brought
Well,
in, even including the time he spent, at Roman's side and then leaving Roman, and then he got a bunch of main events again,
his time in
and it didn't,
NXT.
and it, his time in a kind of a comment, but yeah, you said yeah, it just, guys had their run, it was over, and they moved on, but we're in this era where people just keep signing new contracts and signing new contracts. Even in the post AEW era, you were still getting people just sticking around this one company for hardly too long, and there's just nothing for them. But they obviously Solo has one very powerful backer who pushes for him to be involved in things, and we know who that is, of course.
And it's too bad. Like I, yeah, they have spent, like you said, like at least a year and a half since that Bloodline breakup angle, really just kicking Solo in the teeth. And yeah, it's just one of those. I don't even understand why he's worth fighting over, or even, trying to woo to your side.
No, he really isn't. You got Jacob now. What do you need? Do you need a second enforcer? What? No, he's not going to do anything for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm sitting there. I'm like, yeah, what role does he fill? Like, it's getting to. It wouldn't be one of those Don Callis family style ridiculousness. Even if they brought Tala and Tama over, like, I don't think it'd quite be the ridiculousness of the Don Callis family.
No, but
They still
I don't
don't
see that
have
happening
good
either.
places in the pecking order
No,
then.
there really isn't.
So, yeah, that was definitely kind of an interesting part there of SmackDown. And we definitely did, because what the fourth match here does have implications for Night of Champions, that Jey Uso took on Javon Evans in the first of the semifinal matches for King
Yes.
of the Ring.
It's easy to twist them around which would have gone last, but no, the women's match went last. So yes, we got
Yes.
Jey Uso versus Javon Evans. They had a pretty good match. And Jey Uso won as expected. I not much to say up not much to say about it.
Yeah, I mean that may have been the highlight of SmackDown. I enjoyed that match quite a bit there. And Yeah, because we got the little Fatal Influence challenge thrown in there with Bree and Paige. So that wasn't terribly surprising or anything that big. And then, yeah, we ended up with Liv Morgan and Charlotte Flair, Queen of the Ring semifinal main eventing SmackDown here, as you already noted.
Yes. But
But.
before we got that, we got the confrontation in the back between Charlotte Flair and Jade and her crew, resulting in Charlotte getting her knee attacked and injured and re-injured. That's a tricky knee injury since she's been back for a year and a half and we've barely mentioned it. Or was
And
something
she
happened a few weeks ago? Did something that where they talk about her re-injuring it or something? I don't remember now. She's had the brace ever since. She's never, she's always, she, she's, yeah.
yeah,
She's had the brace
agreed.
since she's back, yeah.
She's worn the brace. However long she's been back, she's worn the brace. So it's been one of those things that I have not even really thought about. Honestly,
Yeah.
like it's just one of those things that it's just there, and I just move along with my day. And yeah, they did really sell it
They
for
sold it really
this
good.
angle and for the match.
Yes,
So.
it, I this is I like the knee as the excuse for Liv Morgan getting so much offense. This could be a tricky match with a size difference, but they
No.
negated it, you know, smartly from the jump.
Yeah, and it did seem, I don't know why I got the feeling that I feel like I saw some headline and it made me think that Charlotte Flair won this match. Not quite sure where or why I saw that, but yeah, she was not the winner of the match. Liv
No, she
Morgan
was not.
ends up taking advantage of the injured knee, really, in the long run. Allowing her to pick up the victory in the Queen of the Ring tournament here.
Right. Yeah, no. Just this was good stuff as well. I like this.
Yeah, it was well played, and hey, we still get wow. I mean, Charlotte still went for an 18 and a half minute match with an injured knee. So how about
She,
them
wow,
apples?
that's a, that is a, that's a pretty long match, and you know what? It was good mostly throughout. Yeah, I'll hand it. It definitely handed to them.
Yep. We move on to Raw here, and that definitely has Night of Champions implications because we kick off the show with Obafemi ready to put Jey Uso in the not main event slot.
Yes, he certainly did. And Jay entered to retort, and he did with gusto. Yeah, this was a good Jey Uso promo. Definitely pulled it out of the bag of tricks from his Gunther feud and just the no one believes I can beat you talk for sure.
He does. It was kind of interesting. I'm like, yeah, at this point, you do have a little bit of a track record of winning when you shouldn't, and it's a nice hat to be able to hang on for a promo like this.
Yeah, this is heading into Saturday. This is probably the most intriguing match. It's gonna go first, but it does feel like it's it's there's an argument to put it last. I mean, there's more intrigue to this match. You know, are we really going to go all the way with Obafemi heading into SummerSlam? Is something screwy gonna happen to cause him to not win this thing? Is Jey Uso really gonna face Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam, or possibly face Roman Reigns again? Even again, we did that 3 years ago at SummerSlam.
Oh.
So yeah, I think there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot more. There's a lot to this match. There's a lot more to this match than there is the actual main event for sure.
yeah, it is definitely an interesting setup for King of the Ring. Like that, well, really, and the Queen of the Ring has an interesting setup too, honestly, in my opinion.
It does, but I don't. I'm not feeling like Liv Morgan's going to win and then challenge Rhea Ripley again. If if they don't make Rhea Ripley, vacate the title.
Yeah, they definitely have been oddly silent on that front.
Yeah, I think they're crossing their fingers that Rhea can get back before by SummerSlam, so they don't have to do that.
Yeah, I would think so. That's what the radio silence would indicate to me, is that they're hopeful that it's a sooner rather than later return
But I
situation.
think the wrinkle that's been added to this King and Queen of the Ring that wasn't there for the last two is that they've gone the Royal Rumble route where the winners get to choose the championship, not just their brand's champion. So there is going to be a choice element to both. So, guys, again, you can play up that, Oba could, challenge one or the other, Jay could challenge any other, one or the other. Liv can only challenge one. But Io Sky would potentially have the possibility to challenge her best friend, who there's always that dangling angle that Rhea's never been. Somehow, for some reason, Io Sky is that one person Io's never been able to beat.
It is kind of wild that Io still holds all the wins over Rhea. And they could go with Rhea finally getting the big dub over Io. Still a little bit of a hard sell for me, but you could end up going that route.
Or you could go the route of, Io beats Liv Morgan once and then wants to beat her again. But I'm wondering if that is what they would do.
Yeah, that to me was the interesting part of the angle, is that I'm like, hold on, so she's gonna beat Liv Morgan and then possibly challenge her right after that? It would be kind of an interesting, do they have a money in the bank like contract? Could she cash that in, or like right after the matchup?
No, I think it's specifically SummerSlam.
Oh, that's right. It is specifically SummerSlam. You're right. They have mentioned
Yeah.
that on TV. So,
Yeah, so it's yeah. So I mean, it would be yeah, so it would be,
it'd be a pretty quick
so I
turnaround,
do
but it
think
would
so.
make
So
some
I
sense too.
Oh, well, actually we didn't make official predictions. I
Oh.
will go with Oba and I'll go with Io.
I'm trying to think. I'm more in the EO camp. The Oba versus Jay is kind of interesting, just
Yes, like
because
it's an
there's a
interesting match.
lot of chicanery that can be involved.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with Jay
Okay, all right.
on that one. I say
It's very
either
possible.
Brock Lesnar gets paid a lot of money to go over to Saudi Arabia, or some type of Bloodline shenanigans ends up helping Jey Uso become King of the Ring there, so that we do end up with Cody versus Jey, and that will be similarly awkward. And oh well, actually, I guess that does make put Gunther in a back seat at least for one pay-per-view.
It does put him in a back seat. Yeah. There's...
Had not really thought about that part of things we were talking. Talking about Gunther getting a second matchup there. So I guess the one other match that is on Night of Champions, because we're getting six matches on this card here, going big for the overseas crowd here, and that one is Braun Breaker versus Seth Rollins. That had some implications on Monday Night Raw here.
It definitely had some implications on Monday Night Raw. I mean, as I did expect, the Street Profits did defeat the makeshift team of Austin Theory and Bron Breakker to win the tag team championships when but a lot of chicanery. First Joe Hendry shows up to chase off Logan Paul, then Seth Rollins shows up, hits Theory with brass knucks, and and then is leads Ron Breaker on a chase outside of the building so that the Street Profits could just hit their finish and pin Austin Theory and win the tag team championships again. I don't think any tag team has ever survived more breakup teases than the Street Profits at this point.
It is wild that just to hear us predict that the Street Profits are finally gonna break up, like I'd love to go back to listen to last I don't know how many shows at this point and try and figure out how many times we talked about this very topic. And
Oh,
it
it's
is
big.
wild,
It's a
like
lot.
just because it did seem like when Angelo Dawkins started siding with Seth Rollins that there is going to be a fracture. Now all of a sudden, Montez Ford and Seth Rollins kind of seem buddy buddy.
Yes, they're buddy buddy. Yeah, everyone's buddy buddy. The Street Profits have stopped arguing again. All is right with the world, apparently. I mean, we needed to get
Yeah,
this
weird.
this this this. I don't know how long the Logan Paul Austin Theory tag title run would have lasted if Logan didn't get injured. It would probably would have been lasted longer, and maybe we would have maybe again maybe that probably changed enough plans because. You can't keep Bron Breakker saddled on the tag team for very long, so they needed to do this quickly.
They needed to get that gold off of the vision as quickly as possible and
Yeah, this cursed faction that there's ever been one.
Anyone who tried to argue against this faction being cursed, they need to have a good talk with Danhausen and
Yes.
not give him any human monies and find out what happens.
Not having a good talk with Danhausen this week. Dominic Mysterio and JD McDonagh. Who, again, JD McDonagh. I thought it was $20,000 last week. But now this week it's $100,000. Was it supposed to be $100,000 or are they just lying?
I did
Or did
not
I miss
remember.
here? Or did I miss here?
I did not remember what the money count was supposed to be. So I'm not sure if there was a differential between this week and last week.
Yes,
But
but
$80,000 difference is a lot of difference
there's a lot of difference.
if they were trying to pull Danhausen's leg there.
And that, but of course, this all results in getting angry about what Danhausen spent the money on, and of course, JD McDonagh gets himself electrocuted in Danhausen's lair lab. And of course,
It's really pretty funny what they are
yes.
doing with Mr. Danhausen. It continues to be a very fun gag for some of the lower card wrestlers that that want to get some TV
And
time.
then we get multiple segments of them refusing to take JD to medicals because they're just dealing with their own arguments and arguing with peers. It was very funny, very funny stuff.
Yeah, I did forget because even Michael Cole is like, get JD to medical for crying out loud. He's even pointed out, like, why are you letting this guy walk around like a zombie? Like, what are you doing? Oh man. The medical malpractice on that show. So the tag team was the main event there. I'm trying to remember what else happened throughout the night here. I see one of the matchups, but oh boy, there were not a lot of matchups here.
No, not really. I mean, there's definitely some things of note. I think
And
one of the
yeah, I
bigger
just
things
finally
of
rolled back to one of them.
yes, is well, you start and see what's what I'm thinking about right now.
Chad Gable.
Okay, not the one I was thinking, but yes, definitely one of the things of note for sure.
comes out and says he needs to issue an apology and invites out Otis Tozawa and Maxine Dupri. And it seems like Mr. Tozawa and Mr. Otis want to accept said apology, but Maxine Dupri, it being extra bitchy and not wanting to take Chad's apology, and talks the two gentlemen into leaving.
Yes, this is this. You know what? This was a good segment. They're definitely onto something yet again with Chad Gable. Let's see if we actually can go somewhere with this finally. So let's see if he finally, after all these years in the company, wins one single championship.
Yeah, I mean they have passed around the IC that is on
I see.
Raw there. Yeah,
Yeah.
they have definitely tossed around the IC title enough that it feels like Chad Gable at least can get a run with that thing.
Yeah.
Do I ever see him capturing either the world championships? No, but that brother can at least. At least get an IC run here at some
Yes, he
juncture.
can. And of course, Maxine Dupri, of course, in the middle of the slowest heel turn and one of the slowest heel turns I've ever seen. We all know it's coming, but it's just they're not pulling the trigger.
No,
Yeah,
no.
but this was a good little moment of her, manipulating Otis and Tozawa, when of course she's going to eventually screw them over and go with
Oh.
Austin Theory and the Vision. So again, okay, this is all, pretty good stuff. I've enjoyed this. It's a different take on the situation, letting Chad. I guess they talked about letting Chad Gable show this kind of vulnerability and actually genuinely be sorry for all of his actions when he was a dastardly heel. Something we certainly at least haven't seen in a while. And people do seem to
Oh
not
yeah.
be like booing him for it. Oh, look at him. He's talking about his feelings. Oh, what a pussy. No, people are genuinely invested in him being forgiven by all these people.
And it definitely made sense that you build up to these three.
Yes.
Having the luchadors ex accept you made a lot of sense given the match that he went through, and they know what that feels like.
Yeah.
This trio would not really have that feeling in their hearts. So, they are owed the biggest apology in a
Yeah,
lot of ways.
if we build this up right, that moment when Chad and Otis hug. We'll actually get a huge reaction.
Yes, I could definitely hear a let them hug chant
We
happening
heard
when
that. There were hug it out chants when Otis was thinking about it.
yeah, let those hang out there for a little bit longer,
Yeah.
like we don't need this to happen right away. You can milk it for a little bit. So that was not the one that you were thinking of. Which moment of the night are you thinking of, sir?
Women's Tag Team Championships. Brie Bella and Paige versus Lyra Valkyria and Bayley. Had a pretty good match. I mean, obviously Paige was super over in London, so
Oh,
just
yes.
felt like this was probably their best match since becoming champions. Really, all things considered, it clicked better than most of the things involving Brie and Paige. I mean,
Agreed.
Paige being Paige being in London probably had a lot to do with that. And they ultimately won the match. Lyra hits a Fisherman Buster on Paige, but instead of going for the cover, lifts her up, which late Paige is then able to turn into the Rampage and get a clean win. We get the moment with Bayley and Lyra after the match. Bayley is being, of course, Bayley is being super forgiving. Bayley is being, trying to be motivational and all that. And in an inverse of probably what we everyone expected was going to this was going to end, Lyra turns heel on Bayley. So that's a good. That was a good swerve because everyone always thinks that, oh, Bayley's gonna go crazy. Bayley's gonna go crazy on her. Nope. It was Lyra who unrailed on Bayley, and believe for the first time in her entire WWE career, including NXT, Lyra Valkyria is a heel, if I'm not
Yeah,
mistaken.
that is kind of wild. She did not really. I had kind of joked for a while now about having to be a baby face and a heel before getting out of NXT. I feel like she got out of NXT before that became a requirement. I know that it wasn't that long ago,
No, it really wasn't. It just kind of
but
skipped her.
yeah, it.
I guess, yeah. So yeah, she's a heel for the first time in her career, and you know what? That could be very good for her. Spinning her wheels a bit as a baby face here, so yeah, just I don't think it could hurt her at this point.
Yeah, that's the one of the first thoughts that hit me is Bayley is getting turned on and not really getting anything out of it yet again. Kind of like when which Damage Control turned against her, and it's just like, well, you haven't done anything to really become the baby face in this situation. And even in this one, it's been such a rocky road with the two of them that there's still a little bit of something missing from this feud because of that. But otherwise, like you said, this was well done. The announcers did a good job of kind of talking about how frantic Lyra was before the match. And it made sense that she ended up being the one to snap. And like you said, it feels like she can get more out of this if she goes heel rather than Bayley just turning again.
Bailey turning is becoming a broken record, yeah.
Yeah, Bayley's kind of getting to that point where she's just everyone loves her, and trying to get people to boo her is. It's probably more work than it's worth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was an interesting one. Paige and Brie, still your women's tag team champions. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that we. Well, I did see that there is one match that was not talked about,
Yeah.
and that was Jey Uso versus LA
Jimmy
Knight,
Uso.
or Jimmy Uso. That's
It was
right,
Jimmy. Yeah, it was Jimmy versus LA Knight. Yes.
Big Jim.
And
Yeah, not really surprising. Big Jim still taking big L's.
taking big L's because his little big brother hit him with a Samoan spike. Solo Sikoa. Gotta have that main event level storyline with Solo Sikoa involved.
Yeah, that's the one thing that we did not talk about a little bit earlier.
I
Yeah,
was waiting for you.
they are really milking this thing, and yeah, not terribly excited that Solo Sikoa is now that Roman Reigns has tamed Jacob Fatu. It's just, yeah, it's really eye rolling that Solo is doing this stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Just feels like he should just fall in line, and we should be done with it.
He should just be way away from it. He's just not needed. We don't need. They don't need a fifth family member in this thing. Again, I'm still not even sure what the end game for everything that they're doing is, especially if we're just gonna keep them at these baby faces who are just assholes. It just keeps bearing repeating. These are not, I mean, Roman's gonna get cheered, Jay's gonna get the yeet. It's just like
Oh, yeah.
none of these people are should be likable at all at this point. They are just, they're just assholes.
Well, I think Jimmy's the only one that can get away with not being called an asshole.
Yeah, Jimmy's trying to keep the peace.
Yeah,
But
Jay definitely
he's gonna
could
slap
be
him. He's
because
gonna act around for us. So he's gotta he's gotta show some spine too, I guess. He's gotta fall in line too.
Oh man. And I am seeing this little segment that was thrown in there. Liv Morgan complaining about Io Sky and Roxanne Perez and Raquel acting a little incredulous about what is going on in this segment. And
Yeah.
what is again continued Judgment Day breakup always a possibility.
Yeah, always it's been a possibility for 2 or 3 years now.
Like
Yes,
this.
they drop members, but but they stay whole.
Yeah, it is really wild, and I'm not quite, this is another one. I'm not quite sure where this is leading.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting that Raquel Rodriguez, who normally is very aligned with Liv Morgan almost no matter what, was even in the what the hell is going on here portion of this segment.
Yeah.
So again, what does it all mean? Who knows? We could
Yeah, who
get a
knows?
payoff like 6 months from now.
Yeah, we might. Yeah, man. Yeah, it might, but it might be. Yeah. Trips loves his slow burn, but sometimes it's a slow burn to nowhere, and nothing ever actually happens. We've talked about that for sure.
Yeah, and this one feels like a slow burn to nowhere. Like,
Yeah,
as much as I
just
like Roxanne Perez as a wrestler,
yes. As much as
and
you like Roxanne Perez,
even
Raquel has found her place as the heavy in a tag team. But we have to keep trying to push her back into singles. It's just not happened. But if you disagree that it can still happen for her in a singles capacity, you can go ahead. Please go ahead and explain.
I'm not going to pitch
Okay.
that.
Yeah.
I am completely fine with her being the heavy in a tag team. Even if it means she ends up rotating out partners
Yeah, I agree
on
with
a
that.
fairly, she started with Liv. She could move on with Roxanne if she wants to. Once Roxanne decides to go singles, you can put someone else in that place. It feels like this ship has sailed on Raquel
Yeah,
superstar.
and even with Roxanne, if we're not going to be doing the stuff with Finn her, with Finn Balor anymore, and her still feeling loyal to him as bringing her into the Judgment Day, but now he's on SmackDown, and they've because I think they realized this was just going to go on and on forever, unless they just separated Finn out from this whole thing. And hilariously, he's over on SmackDown with doing segments with Damian Priest and R-Truth.
Judgment Day is back together. Yeah, how dare we forget about that segment from SmackDown? R-Truth, kind of in obviously in that category of sure, I'll listen to a promo from him all day.
Yeah.
Man does not need to wrestle at all if he doesn't need to. Anything else that I don't feel like looking for anything else because I'm back at the main event here on Raw. Anything
I
else
think we're pretty good
news-wise?
here. Yeah. No, I don't think so. I think we are good. We're good to go.
Well, I forgot to talk about the Beltane beer when I was with
Ah.
Jeremy last week.
You do
I
too.
don't
It's fine.
remember which one I was drinking that day, but this one is from Strange Ways Brewing down in Richmond, Virginia. This was a special when I went down there. It's called Waving with Strangers New England IPA, 5.5% alcohol, so it's a nice light drinking beer that has a lot of hop punch to it. It's almost but not quite a session IPA, and I kind of dig those types of beers, especially in the hotter weather. A little less ABV, and always remember, any Beltane beer drinkers out there, do not be a knucklehead like my brother, the older variety, and drink a dark beer when you're sitting out in the sun. Not a great combination. I love dark beer as much as anyone. Dark beer in the heat, just not a great combination, in my opinion. I know some people that do it. But just my advice there. I say go a little lighter come summertime. Go a little heavier in the winter. That's the way things can work out there. Yeah, should one find themselves in the Richmond, Virginia area, I believe they also Strange Ways Brewing also has a place in Williamsburg, Virginia, if I'm not mistaken. Should one find themselves down in that part of Virginia, Strange Ways has some delicious beers if you can't find the strangers at night. Yeah, just throw a dart at one of their beers and it's probably going to be delicious. They are a very, very good brewery. So that's the suggestion from Matt DeFrango 11. The brand is at Sunk Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.